Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
And I realized I was kind of doing a baseball announcer voice just then. Sorry about that.
Maybe, a little bit.
Just a bit outside. We are back, John. It's a Wednesday.
Sure as God made green apples, it is a Wednesday.
It is Wednesday. My dudes, moi deebs, we're here. We're here to talk about minute 132 through 133. It's no surprise to the listener that we record a stretch of these at any given time, and I've run out of banter.
Yep. We really just like drained that whole well in our first two episodes that we're recording this weekend.
Yeah, we did. That's okay, though. Shortly before we recorded yesterday's episode, you said, this is the lightest minute or the lightest notes that I have for this week.
In terms of actual notes for the minute, yes. True, and then we got off on a fantasy casting, you know, of who would be a better Shaddam.
Yeah.
Much of which was actually cut from the episode because
that's true. Maybe we'll release it as a bonus.
Yeah. No. It's gone forever in the annals of time.
Deleted.
Deleted.
Nice Homestar reference. Very good.
Shout out to like some of my earliest memories of the internet.
Yeah. And it's a local show made here right here in the suburbs of Atlanta.
All right.
Yeah. My economics teacher in high school was friends with the two guys.
Cool.
And there's a couple of inside jokes from the show. I can't remember which ones, but that were based off my economics teacher's mom. So that's fun. Homestarrunner.com. I think the website's still live.
It is certainly still on the internet.
Oh man, if you're looking for some early
games,
tunes. If you're looking for some early 2000s, 2010s, I guess probably be more appropriate.
No,
2000 like 6-7 ish.
It was like 2004 to 2007. I think was prime Homestar Runner time.
Listen, okay, to date this, I remember downloading those videos onto my iPod Video.
Yeah,
and watching them. So at whatever point in time that was.
I remember Christmas in sixth grade, I got a t-shirt with the cheat on it. So that was
amazing.
Oh God. Hold on.
You were in sixth grade. So that would have been sometime around 2012.
I'm not that young.
I went into high school and
you graduated high school in 2009. I graduated high school in 2010. So
I added 10 years. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, sixth grade would have been like Christmas 2004.
Right. That's okay. I meant to say around that time. Oh my God. I'm sorry. You like just graduated college, right?
No.
I thought you were Gen Z. That's why you keep dabbing all the time.
No. What the fuck?
Every time I look over you, you're just dabbing.
Jesus Christ.
Anyways, John, stop distracting us. We're here to talk about Dune.
Distracting? Motherfucker. I will leave. This is my house.
It's your home.
I'll just go upstairs and go take a nap.
That's fair.
You can record the rest of these. You got that, right?
I think I could fill the time. You've seen me talk to myself a lot.
Anyways, we're talking about minute 132 through 133. We started with one word yesterday.
We ended with one word yesterday.
No, we started this conversation with one word.
Yes, but it was at the end of the minute.
At the end of the minute, yes.
So we ended with one word yesterday.
You know what? How about you shut the fuck up?
We ended the start of a conversation.
Started the... Yep. All right. Baron.
Baron.
Do you have any idea?
Okay, we can't do the we can't do the whole time in Christopher Walken voice.
Do you have any idea who this Muad'Dib could be?
I feel like it would be good just to go through the whole conversation because it's pretty quick.
Do you want me to?
Yeah, I would. Okay. I mean, I have it too. This is maybe one of the few instances where I actually
where you actually wrote down everything. Yeah. Do you have any idea who this Muad'Dib could be? Some fanatic, Your Majesty. That's all we know. More. Give me more.
Oh, that was really hard for you to not do a a Walken voice right there, because that's classic Walken. Yeah. More.
He's a madman. Mad. All Fremen are mad.
That's Raban at this point.
Yes. When he says that, Fade fucking stares him down so hard too.
He looks over at him. He's like, you dumb fuck.
Yeah. We'll get into it.
Yeah.
That's all you know, really. Muad'Dib is dead, or he went hiding in the southern storms, which means the same thing. I'm going to pause here.
Yeah, that's a good end.
So the Muad'Dib is dead, or he went hiding in the southern storms. That's all Fade talking. Meanwhile, throughout all of this, Irulan is still hard, mean mugging Fade. And then we see, for the first time, Guys Helen Moheim actually do her job.
Yeah.
Because, going back to episode 23 of Dune Part 1 of our coverage, we are told that Guys Helen Moheim is truthsayer to the Emperor.
Mm-hmm.
And in this moment, she is actually being a truthsayer because we see her off to the Emperor's left do through like hand signals. And we get a translation that he is speaking the truth, he being Fade.
Yeah. So my one comment on this made me realize that you and I have been slightly misattributing something if we're sticking to movie canon.
Okay.
So it is never established in movie canon that the sign language, the hand signals, are Atreides specific, because you and I have always called this the Atreides battle language.
In fairness, up until this point, the Atreides are the only people we had seen utilize these hand signals.
Very true. I'm not saying we're wrong. I'm just saying that we need to adjust our perspective.
Sure. I agree with that.
So I think what this moment right now is establishing is that this hand signal sign language thing is a much more universal, or maybe a Bene Gesserit thing, if we're going to make the connections. Maybe Jessica taught this instead of Thufir Hawat teaching this to the Atreides.
It's a possibility. And you know what? That actually is in line with Denis' vision of Dune being more Bene Gesserit focused rather than, also including the Mentats beyond what we had Thufir Hawat for.
Right. So,
which I will still attest to this day is a crime and...
Not a crime.
It's a crime.
We have no laws to fit this crime.
Okay. If you don't want to call it a crime, I would say it's a gross underrepresentation of the Mentats in Dune.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. So she uses the sign language.
A crime.
She uses the sign language, and this should not come as a surprise to us now recording this in year of our Lord 2025, because we have seen prophecy.
Yeah.
And they use the hand signals and all that stuff pretty liberally in prophecy.
Because at that point they are all truth saying to all of their house leaders.
Right. So, but at this point in history, this movie came out before prophecy did.
Correct.
And this is the first time that we've seen a non-Atreides person use the hand signals. I think that the scene we're talking about now, plus prophecy, is moving the canon firmly in the camp of this being a Bene Gesserit thing versus something that the Atreides just have. That's really the point that I wanted to get.
Yep.
Which is a fairly, big departure, I guess, from core canon. But not one that will matter, I guess, all that much.
It doesn't impact the movie or the story in any like significant way, like not having Alia in it, right?
Yeah.
I have a couple notes from the conversation that I want to kind of go back to.
Yeah, I do too.
So, some fanatic, your majesty, that's all we know. More and more, give me more. He's a madman. That the he's a madman part comes from Vladimir.
Mm-hmm.
Mad is Shaddam. And then the all Fremen are mad, Rabban, Rabin, whatever you want to call him.
Gotcha.
He says that. Fade stares him down super hard.
Mm-hmm.
The response, that's all you know, really comes from Shaddam. And then before we get the line from Fade, we get a shot of Vladimir who's like looking back over his shoulder.
He's also hard looking at
scowling Rabban. At Rabban. Just like, it's like, something about Stellan Skarsgård's face that just does the perfect like pissed off scowling like look.
Yeah. I have a bullet point in my notes that says Vladimir also looking at Rabban like he's an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes me think, like, before they walked out here into this room, they both looked at Rabban and was like, don't fucking talk.
Shut the fuck up. Yeah.
So.
So after we get the truth saying to the Emperor, one of the Sardaukar soldiers, in fact, I think this is the Sardaukar commander, though he doesn't have any additional, like, regalia on his uniform to indicate as such.
So, John, I did a little bit of deep diving.
Okay.
Because...
Sorry, the Bashar.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The Bashar is what this line is credited to in the script. And
notably a different Bashar than what we saw from part one.
Very true. This actor's name is Steve Wall. Very, very few acting credits to his name. Couldn't really figure out anything else about him. The thing that I...
He's very curly hair.
Very curly hair. But I went to make sure, I went back to make sure that he wasn't the same Bashar that we saw in Dune Part 1.
No, he's very different.
Very different, sure.
The first one that we saw had a very, like, slender face.
Yes. I mean,
deep, sunken in eyes.
Time has passed. You never know. The thing that stood out to me the most, though, was the accent. Now, we don't hear the Bashar in Dune Part 1 speaking, for all intents and purposes, English.
Yeah.
But the voice is heavily accented in a Sardaukar way.
Sure. There's also a good amount of, like, vocal modulation that's being done.
Yes. I'm talking, like, in-universe, though. If that person that we saw in Dune Part 1 were to switch into speaking English, it would still have that very heavy guttural kind of accent to it.
Sure.
So, where'd that go?
I don't know.
Yeah, we can't know. But that's just a question that popped in my head. Is like, this person speaking the King's English. Very, like, a very RP almost. I know it's not actually a British accent, or is it?
No.
But it's very proper, you know, just like everyone else speaking English. I would have expected the Sardaukar, based on everything what we have seen from them speaking, to have some kind of accented speech.
Maybe. Guess we'll never know.
Yeah, I mean, didn't need your response. I'm just saying that's what I expected, and it kind of took me out just a little bit.
I was a little surprised that we didn't get any of the, like, Sardaukar chanting when we were not in this room, but, like, when we were overlooking the Sardaukar army in the desert. There was no callback to that.
You think they would have brought, like, a mobile drum major podium?
Well,
and had the dude twisting his hands in the
maybe
air.
That, but also maybe just, like, they could have, like, overlaid some music
just off in
very
the
like subtly, like, off in the distance.
I would have loved that.
Yeah.
That would have been real nice.
I don't know.
Maybe just like one section of the arc that we
saw. They would have had to have like a whole like section of that arc though, where it's the upturned bodies draining blood out of their necks and all that kind of stuff too. So,
well, given the architecture of the pop-up tent, I don't think that would have been hard to do.
Probably not.
You know, just whoop, pull it right up. Yeah, I mean, we didn't see the backside of the egg and ziggurat. Maybe they hold religious services on the far side.
Probably not. That looked more like a parking lot to me.
We didn't mention this in the first minute, but this is very much a Burning Man situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
It gives heavy Burning Man vibes.
So, anyways, this Bashar enters, yes, and he walks higher up the stairs than Vladimir and Rabin and Fade are at, because they're at the very bottom. This Bashar walks about halfway up the stairs, kneels, and tells the Emperor, I didn't write down this part, but in so many words, tells the Emperor that the storm is more powerful than they expected. He advises the Emperor that they return to space to be safe because it could potentially like destroy the shields on the ship.
I just want to pause for a second and relish in this moment. Is this how you feel often?
What?
Where I have the words and you don't? It feels good. So the Bashar says, Your Majesty, the sandstorm that approaches threatens the integrity of our shields. We recommend going back into orbit.
Yeah.
That's the exact quote.
Yeah. You know that feeling that you're feeling right now?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Smugness?
It's not smugness. It's just completion.
There's a little bit of smugness to it. But it's fine because it's a good feeling. Yes. I also was taking these notes at 3 a.m. Thursday night. Well, I guess Friday morning. So.
All right. I'm just saying, I dislike that. I get it.
Yeah.
So we'll move past it. Just wanted to call it out.
All right.
And then Vladimir responds to this very like sheepishly. He goes,
hold on.
He actually takes out a pair of glasses and puts them on the edge of his nose and pushes them up to this bridge and goes, well, the mountains will protect us from most of it, Your Majesty.
Baron. Have you ever investigated the south regions of Arrakis?
Well, Shaddam waves the Bashar away. Yeah. He just goes, get out of here, whatever.
Get out of here. Have you ever investigated the south regions of Arrakis? Well, the entire region is uninhabitable. It's well known, Your Majesty.
We've never seen Vladimir speak from a point of weakness like this.
No, and it's so weird. It's off-putting.
Yeah, it is off-putting. He's like stumbling over his words. He does not feel confident. Yeah.
Yeah. For the first time, like I said, he is not the looming presence in the room.
Yeah.
And Shaddam starts, and of course, in his Christopher Walken way, has massive breaks between words, not unlike the way that I speak. What all you guys hear on the podcast is me mostly cutting down a lot of spaces that I leave between words. I'll leave some every now and then, but doing this podcast has made me realize how much I like think about the words that I'm going to say as I'm actually speaking, and it drives me up a fucking wall. Now, anyways,
it's no secret that you have taken over editing duties for the majority of this movie.
Yeah.
And this is something that I brought to your attention, I think, in the first movie.
Yeah.
When we were covering that. And I'm not saying I'm glad you get to experience it. I'm just saying that it's a thing that happens.
Yeah. You have
I
your
have
own.
My own.
You have your own things.
I know. I do. I do a lot of so ums.
Yeah. So. So Shaddam starts. Your uninhabited south, and then our minute ends after that. There's no more dialogue, but there's some action that goes on. Mm-hmm. Because as Shaddam starts speaking, we see a Sardaukar in the background with his sword drawn begin to walk towards Vladimir.
Oof.
Dun, dun, dun.
And I think this is why Christopher Walken leaves some space in between his words, because we can have movement like this while he is still talking. He gives the room space to breathe. And I like it.
Yeah.
At some points. Now, I will not go back on what I said at the end of last minute about how I think that he maybe is not the best choice for this role, but I do like the way that Christopher Walken talks. I think that he gives a good, or he does a good job of letting the scene breathe.
Yeah.
It's a very stage actory habit, I think.
He was before he was in movies.
Yeah. But, it's iconic for him now. It's part of his brand.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it. Mid mic drop moment. Cause you know, Shaddam's about to lay down some hard truths.
I guess we'll have to talk about those on tomorrow's episode then.
We will have to. So the book notes from this, the conversation that we get from Shaddam and the Baron, and from the book is, and I'm having a hard time like remembering it word for word, but it is so much more of a, I want to call it like an elevated conversation here. Like they're having a back and forth. They're volleying between, you know, like little digs and truth bombs and things like that.
Sure.
It is not Vladimir groveling like this. The groveling happens when Aaliyah comes in the room. That's when
I'm sorry, when who?
Aaliyah comes in the room. Thank you. Aaliyah is my rabbin.
It's only going to be worse when we start talking about the next movie.
It's going to be so bad. So they, they're doing some like verbal sparring, but between the two of them, I mean, Shaddam is clearly winning, but it is, it kind of lends more to what we talked about earlier this week about the presence that Christopher Walken brings to this emperor is not in line with the presence that we get from the emperor in the books.
Yeah.
Because I don't see this back and forth happening between the movie Baron and movie Shaddam. I don't see the book back and forth happening, I should say. They're too, I mean, both of them, they're too slow for that. Maybe not so much the Baron.
Too slow and too like not quick witted enough to.
Okay, and I'll give you that. Maybe not so much on the Baron side, but definitely on the Emperor side as he's been portrayed in this movie. So it is a very big departure. And there's a like 3 or 4 pages of dialogue cut out from the conversation that the Emperor and the Baron have.
Sure.
And we pick up kind of towards the like the back middle of their conversation here. And they talk about economics. They talk about just the state of Arrakis. And then they get into the Muad'Dib stuff. So a lot of really good conversation cut out.
In fairness, I don't think movie audiences give a shit about the economics
They don't. And I understand that. But it's still really good. Still really telling and paints the dynamic between these two characters in a light that makes a lot more sense 3 pages from now when shit hits the fan.
Sure.
So if you're interested in those, check it out towards the
latter. Go read Dune.
Go read the book. It's a good book.
And if you've read it,
read it again.
Read it again.
Read it again. What's stopping you?
There's nothing that is...
Nothing is stopping your job? Yeah. Ugh, come on.
Who needs that?
Come on. You got this.
Just tell your boss to kick rocks. You're reading Dune.
I've told mine that. Just kidding. I have not told my boss that. Although I think he'd be okay with it.
He'd probably be like, yeah, whatever, man.
He'd probably go, oh, man, I need to go read it too.
Oh God.
Yeah. That's the general book notes that I wanted to say. Like there's a lot that was missing from this conversation. But the words that we do get in the movie are almost exactly the same as we get in the book. So I do love an instance where they just take the dialogue from page to screen. That's really nice.
It's almost like it works out really well in most cases.
Yeah.
Well, we'll finish this conversation tomorrow, but in the meantime, you can find the Dune Minute online. We are on Blue Sky at DuneMinute.com. You can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us. We'll be back with a Thursday episode, and we'll see you then.
All right, see ya.